All right, let's do it again. This is Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working. What Working is brought to you by Regions. This is our special edition version of What's Working, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock. Our original program, Wednesdays at 6 p.m., still continues to operate, and I'll give you some insight into who tomorrow night's guests will be. But let me give you a look at what you can expect today. We've got, first up, Rob Guthans. Rob is the president of ServiceMaster. And if you happen to be listening the first day I came on air in this new special edition, you'll remember that my first guest had to cancel due to the evolving nature of the COVID virus. We were going to get him on here to say, Rob, how do we clean our offices to make it safe for our employees? How do we clean our offices and our workplaces to make it safe for our customers? And he called back and said, there's been new news about the length this virus stays alive. I can't come on and make any commitments. Well, I reached back out to him last week, and he is now ready to come on and give a talk about that. After Rob, we're going to speak to Joe Caligaz, Joe's third generation in Caligaz Photos, Caligaz Printing. And they stumbled on these face shields. And if you've been looking at social media locally recently, you'll know Joe's story. However, when I visited him yesterday to pick up a couple of these things that I could have in my hand and talk to him about as we interviewed him today, he told me a little bit about the way he used the media and social media to gauge the interest in these products. He actually used the media to build sales in a way that I was surprised. I mean, Joe has a great sense of his business. He knows how to run it, but I give him credit. He also knows how to use the media and particularly social media to generate sales. And I think if I understood him correctly, they're now up to 250,000 units that they've committed to. And this product is, I want to say, within 10 days old. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, folks. We're going to close out the hour with an old friend that I have. The friendship is reborn. His name is Mark Sanborn. And if you recognize that name, he's written a book called The Fred Factor. It sold 2 million copies. Mark is a leadership and inspirational speaker. He's out there everywhere. And I'll give you more of his bio later in the hour. And you're going to get a free book from Mark. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you how to get that in a little while. You have to subscribe to the text service. No, not subscribe. Just text us, and I'll tell you how to get a free copy of Mark's book. Now, moving onward into some of the content that we've kind of discussed already, I'm a big fan of this morning email called The Morning Brew. And it came out not long ago with an article, this was last week, on, it's called Digital Strategies to Get Your Brand Through Coronavirus. And this is very similar to something we've discussed on a previous show. So if you're curious about this, getting your brand through coronavirus, I've downloaded this and I've attached it to the text service. And again, I'll tell you how to get that text momentarily. But I want to read you this real quick paragraph that gives the significance of this document. It reads this: in times like these, brands must put safety first. The focus on safety should apply to your customers, employees, brand, and business. In volatile markets, those with foresight who act deliberately and cautiously will find a market advantage. And I think there's the key. Foresight, deliberately, cautiously, and find that market advantage. Again, this is called Digital Strategies to Get Your Brand Through Coronavirus. It's available in the download. I'll give you that in a moment. And, well, let's go ahead and give you that download information. Do What's Working. Send What's Working to 44222. You'll get information on how to get Mark Sanborn's book. You'll get this downloadable document on the coronavirus and some other tips. I've also left Mark Foley's information up there. He's the one that provided devotional on the site. So, last, something to think about. The social media, find us at What's Working with Cam Marston on Instagram. You can search for us on Facebook, What's Working with Cam Marston. And I am at the point of desperately needing a haircut. It's gotten bad. I look like the tail of my dog at this point. And I have looked around to some people, and one that's sitting very close to me right now, and he looks like the tail of a much uglier dog. If anybody knows where to find a black market haircut out there, I'm in the market right now. It's getting bad. We'll be right back. We'll have Rob Guthans on the line, president of ServiceMaster, when we come back from this break. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by Regions. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Regions. On the line with me is Rob Guthins. Rob is the president of ServiceMaster Advanced Cleaning and Restoration, based here in Mobile, involved in so many different things around the city. Rob, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Well, thank you, Cam. I'm a big fan of yours, and I'm very honored to be here.
Well, I appreciate that. You must not know me well, and we'll try to keep that way so you can continue to be a big fan. Listen, of all the organizations, and there are so many handfuls of them that have had to react in a dramatic way as a result of the COVID-19 virus, tell me what's been up with you guys.
Well, you know, Cam, a little background.
Sure.
We operate a commercial, industrial, and janitorial company. That's one company that we own. And we serve some of Mobile's largest employers, including several medical office buildings for three local hospitals. And our other company, ServiceMaster Advanced, that you mentioned, we perform water, fire, and mold restoration. So we're used to suiting up, and this type of cleanup is, you know, right in our wheelhouse. And so what we've been doing, we've been approached, and we've been handling this cleanup with a chemical that's called Sanimaster. And it's been used for over 40 years and developed for hospital use, and it's now in its seventh formulation, and it is EPA approved for COVID-19. And so we're doing basically three processes, and needless to say, we've been a little busy. And then we can kind of take, maybe you can draw me out and we can go from there about how that would apply to your audience, maybe the average homeowner. But we're doing three things. We've been called to go and do detailed sanitization. And whereas you come in and you just clean everything, all the touch points, and you do, you know, an overall cleaning and making sure that there's the idea is to break the link. And what we want to do is break the link to a human being from an environment such as a desk. Okay, so the more you do of this, the better chance you have of breaking that link. Then the second thing we've been asked to do is from some larger accounts is to go in and provide continuous cleaning and sanitization. We're cleaning touch points, but we're doing it all the time, all day long in some cases. So we got a team of people in public buildings that where we're just cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, and that, needless to say, we hope and we believe it cuts down on the likelihood of transmission. And then the third case is where you have an active COVID-19 cleanup situation. And we, from there, we use CDC guidelines, and we handle that from a more of a consultative standpoint. The guidelines, as you mentioned earlier, the guidelines are changing a little bit. At first, we had to be suited and have respirators, and then it went to N95s. And I think the CDC wised up a little bit and said, man, there's a shortage of those N95s. So maybe and they don't require that anymore. So it's kind of a moving target. The standards for active COVID cleanup are being relaxed a little bit. So those are the three things we're doing. And then we can kind of take that from there and, you know, sort of relate that to your listening audience and see how, you know, how they could do it themselves. Or
My guess, yeah. Rob, is that most of the listening audience are going to be concerned about breaking the link as much as many of the things that you listened. That's the one that's on most people's mind that will give both their employees and their customers confidence that the place is clean. Talk to me more about that.
Exactly. So there are a number of chemicals out there. You know, we happen to have one that is proprietary. But the EPA has a list of chemicals, and Cam, I'll send you that link so people can see that.
Yes, please.
And it's an EPA list of chemicals that are approved. Some are as simple as Lysol or the Clorox wipes. And the idea is to break that link, and it's to continuously clean as much as you can. Everywhere where you think somebody has been, trace their footsteps, where people are touching things, you want to wipe that. You want to keep it wiped down. You want to make sure, of course, you're washing your hands and all those things have been covered. But from a cleaning standpoint, you want to make sure, first of all, that surface is clean, okay, because sanitizing dirt doesn't really do anything. So you want to make sure that those surfaces, those doorknobs, those partitions, the front door, that they're cleaned and that they've been sanitized. And we can't say enough about the fact that you just got to keep it clean. You got to keep it sanitized. And that cuts down on the transmission, at least the one that you and I can effect here.
So the customers that walk in, I know they want to see people cleaning. I was at Lowe's today, and there was a guy, you know, handing me a cart, and he wiped it down in front of me as he handed it to me.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, well, great? They are both cleaning.
They do that all the time.
They're both cleaning, and they're letting me know that they're cleaning. Instead of somebody saying, oh, the cart's cleaned, I did it a little while ago, they're doing it live on site on hand. I think there's great value to that. Is that something that your customers are asking you for?
Yeah, absolutely. It offers a tremendous level of comfort, doesn't it? Yes. We have, and I don't want to name those customers,
sure.
but some are in manufacturing facilities and some are in fairly public areas. And their idea was, can you guys send a team of people here and constantly sanitize? And so we devised a route. One place, we've got about 12 people, and all day long, they have a route in the building, at the front doors, and in the restrooms, and they're constantly wiping and cleaning. And, hats off to them. Not everybody can afford that.
Right.
But hats off to them, because they're doing everything they can to be proactive and limit that. Again, break that link from the surface or the environment to the human being.
So you're at ServiceMaster Janitorial Services. How are you guys getting your information? Is there a clearinghouse within your organization that's bringing you the most updated content?
We have to sit through a rather long conference call once a week, and you'd be surprised. It's a constantly moving target. Your friend Jennifer Farrell, who works for me, has worked for me 25 years, I'm sorry. We look at each other every day and go, you know what? It's a constantly moving target. We're in uncharted waters, and it does. It changes every day as they find more and more out about this virus, how it lives, how long it's likely to live on surfaces, and the standard changes a little bit as to, how we approach it and what exactly we do. So, you mentioned earlier, I was reluctant to come on because it was moving. It's still moving, but not as much. We're kind of getting our arms around it as we speak.
So give me an example of a piece of information that was released that required you to react differently than what you had been doing. How is this news changing what you do?
Well, at first, as I mentioned, they wanted us, they really weren't sure about air transmission. So, and I think they basically kind of come to the conclusion that this is droplet infection. This is transmitted via droplets. And so they relaxed the standard. They wanted us in there in suits and respirators. Then they relaxed that to N95s, and I thought, well, you know what? I need to be donating my N95s, not using them to clean up buildings. As important as that may be, I'd rather have it on the face of a doctor or a nurse who's right up in someone's face.
Yeah.
And the buildings have to wait. And then they basically came back to us. They said, look, that's not going to be required. Suit the people up. Put gloves in their hands. And this is for an active infection again, Cam. But put goggles on them. But you do not need respirators to clean up a building where there was an active infection, unless the chemical that you're using requires that, and ours doesn't. So, so as you can see, it moved from full face respirator to N95, and then to no respirator required. We don't think it's floating around in the air in there. We think you need to get up near a person to get it. And if you don't put your hands in your eyes or mouth or nose, from a surface, then the likelihood of transmission is a little lower than they thought at first.
What is the next piece of information you and your team are looking for that will inform you of what to expect going forward?
Well, here's what I'd like to know. It is how long on a surface? I've got a Harvard study that shows us it said 48 hours on certain surfaces. And then, a couple of weeks ago, we saw something come out that said that on that cruise ship that was in Japan, they found traces of the virus 17 days later.
Yeah.
That was kind of scary. And when that came out, I said, well, I'm not going to do any of these active cases. We're not going to clean this up at all because we're going to wind up in a lawsuit. So we were really, really careful about it early on. Because the CDC didn't seem to really have their arms around it, and no one else did. But I think that might have been an outlier, but that is the information that we'd all like to hear, what they're telling us now. So you can tell your listening audience, and this is where we are today. Maybe we can do this again sometime. But they're telling us to let the building sit. This is an active case, okay? Let the building sit for 24 hours and then go in and clean it according to the CDC guidelines, which are some intensive cleaning, not just touch points, not just where the person went, but a wide swath around them and maybe even the entire building.
It can get
quite expensive. So what we try to do is work with people from a consultative standpoint. You know, let's figure out what we can do for you and not break the bank and try to do it. But to answer your question a long way around, yeah, I'd like to know how long it lives on surfaces definitively. And I don't think we're there yet.
Rob Guthens is the president of ServiceMaster Janitorial Services. Rob, how are you? First, I'd like to know how you're protecting your employees. And second, what is their attitude as they're stepping into these workplaces? Is it confidence? Is it fear?
When we clean during the day, we're offering them the N95s because they're around people, not from cleaning. They don't need the N95s from cleaning, but they're around people. So we're offering them daytime people. We're offering them masks. But at nighttime, we don't know. We're assuming that there's no active infection in some of the buildings we go into. And to answer your question about fear, no, not really, because they're smart and they're doing smart things and they're up to date. They're informed and they're not. I wouldn't say they're scared. I would say they're toughing it out like the doctors and the nurses and everybody else. We're all glad that we're still working. We have been deemed an essential service company, so we're glad that we all still have jobs at this point.
Sure. Do you have everybody you need? I mean, are you hiring?
Well, we're always hiring. We've used some an employment agency to bring some people on. I don't want to bring people on that aren't going to stay with us. They're going to go right back to their old job.
Yeah.
Temporarily displaced. But needless to say, we always need people.
So let me ask you this, Rob. I'm holding in my hands a bottle of Clorox disinfecting wipes that the studio has available. And imagine that I'm a small business owner, and yep. I'm now looking at my workplace where both my customers and my employees come. How do I begin to look at the workplace with a new set of eyes and figure out what do I clean first? Where is this? What did you call it? This link. Tell me how to look at my workplace now that I've got some cleaning agent.
Good question. So I would walk in the door and I would look and see what I touch, what I typically touch as I walk through the place, and what I'm likely to kind of breathe on, but more likely what I'm going to touch and go through there, and those are the areas I believe that need to be continuously cleaned. And I'd share that responsibility. Everybody would get as a small business owner, I understand, because we clean everybody else's building, and then we trade jobs out cleaning our own building. So, I would definitely just walk in the building as a customer or as an employee and see what I touch, and I'd make sure those areas are continuously cleaned.
Talk to me about the motion of cleaning, let's say, a door handle. Do I just quickly go over it with a Clorox wipe, or does it require a scrub?
I'd put some elbow grease into it, and some of those, it's good to continue to clean. Some of our products require a dwell time. I mean, so if it was active virus on that in that area, we know that one of the products we have takes a 4-minute dwell time, and the other has a 10-minute dwell time. So you have to keep it wet for that long. So and I can't talk about the efficacy of Clorox wipes, but so I could say, you know, basically put some elbow grease into it and do it 2 or 3 times, and do it 2 or 3 times during the day. You know, keep it clean.
So I remember learning the importance of germs back in the day. Germs were considered bad when I was a kid. Now we need them for gut health and things like that. Is this eliminating all germs these days? Is that true?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what all Clorox wipes do, but ours our chemicals are effective against viruses and a host of bacteria. So I don't know if it eliminates the good ones or not. but I know it eliminates the bad ones.
Rob, thank you so much. Rob is the president of Service Master Services Janitorial. He, Rob, you offered to send us a list of items that I can share with the listeners.
I will send you a link.
Send me the link. That's great. Send me the link to that list. And what we'll do is go ahead and get that list out there. Rob, I appreciate your time. Folks, if you want to hear this again, or if you want to forward this on to friends of yours who you feel might need to hear this, their business owners, whatever it may be, let me tell you how to find the podcast to this show. You go to whatsworkingcam.com. Again, whatsworkingcam.com. You'll find the shows listed there on the website. And you'll be able to click on that and either subscribe to it or send it on to someone else that needs to listen to it. Or you can enter 44222. I'm sorry, enter what's working to 44222. And you'll get the list or the link to the list that Rob was talking about, as well as the other things that we've mentioned up to this point. A lot of stuff being offered on this show here today of content out there. What I heard from Rob, and we're going to review this show at about 1:52 p.m. of the highlights on there, is if it's a active environment where the virus has been confirmed, you need to let it lie for 24 hours and then go over there and clean it top to bottom. As a business owner, you're going to, or a manager or a leader in the workplace, you're going to want to walk in that place and ask yourself, what do I touch? What do I breathe on? Find these items around your office, your workplace, whatever it may be. Use some elbow grease and clean these places. Keep them clean for yourself, for your team, for your customers. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by Regions. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Regions. And on the line with me right now is a man that has become a darling of the media these days. He never knew that this was going to happen to him, that he would be the forefront of maybe the city of Mobile, Alabama, in the coronavirus fight. I've got Joe Calagaz with Calagaz Printing on the line. Joe, thank you for your time, man. Welcome to What's Working.
Well, I appreciate you having me on today.
When I visited your offices yesterday and saw that facility that you guys have got, you showed me how, all while 6 feet apart, by the way, you showed me how this place was running, the conversion you had gone through to make these face shields, et cetera. It's an impressive story. And while I think lots of people may be familiar with it, I don't feel the need to get into the weeds on that story, but instead what you learned as a result of this as a small business person, and perhaps some ideas that other small business owners listening can pick up on here. So tell us quickly the 30-second overview of the face shield in case somebody has not heard this story.
Sure. Basically, we're a commercial printer, and a couple of weeks after the downturn started and the coronavirus kind of came out, is a couple of my staff members came to me with an idea that they had come up with to create face shields. And to be honest, to begin with, I just kind of didn't really take them serious. My concern was we were only going to be able to make a small volume of these and not really make a significant impact. And as we explored the project further and further, we found that there was number one, a significant need, and number two, we had some equipment and some suppliers that could allow us to produce face shields in pretty significant volume.
And you now have 200, if I say this number repeatedly, I hope I get it right, you got 250,000 orders against them, is that right?
We are headed towards 250,000 pieces. Right now, we've probably got about 160,000 sold and materials on the floor to produce that 250,000.
Yeah, so well on your way. Now, what I want to get into here is what you learned about the value of media, both social media as well as traditional media, in getting the word out here. So you kind of, and I don't want to say manipulated, but you utilized the stuff that media is used for, which suddenly got you a big exposure in the Deep South. Tell me how that happened.
Well, I looked at the project and realized that I went through stages. I engaged the hospitals, figured out what the demand is. And as the demand kept growing, I kept having to, you know, extend myself for materials and buy things on spec, if you say, and not really knowing for sure that these were going to happen. So kind of the way it went is I bought 400 pieces. Then I worked the hospitals and they ordered 12,000 pieces, so I then purchased enough to buy 25,000 pieces, and that process kept going. Well, about at the 25,000 piece range, my next step was to engage for about 225,000 pieces worth of material. And obviously that was a significant step. And before I got out on that limb, so to speak, I really kind of wanted to know, number one, was the demand real? And number two is whether or not I would be able to sell the product and be able to do something with all these. And reality was, is that's when I engaged Stacy Wellborn to help me manage this process, because you mentioned I'm not really an in front of the camera kind of guy. I do tend to I needed to do that. So I reached out to her. She helped me navigate the ways of getting the media involved. We wrote a post on that Thursday night and posted it on social media, which she also worked with traditional media to get them in on that Friday. And that Friday was a storm of media, because overnight the post went from zero reaches to, I think Friday morning we were in the 100,000 or more reaches, and maybe over 1,000 shares. And currently that single post is somewhere between 350 and 375,000 reaches and approaching 4,000 shares. So that allowed us to get beyond the Mobile hospitals and beyond our area and really determine what the demand was. And that Friday, because of the post, we had the phone ringing off the hook. We had a website set up to be able to take the orders. That started getting traffic. So that whole media exposure, both on traditional and social, created the demand, and it was immediately obvious that I needed to go ahead and step out on that limb and commit to the next run of materials, because it was a two-week lead time. It was one of those things that I had enough materials to keep me busy for a couple of weeks filling demand, but what was going to happen after that? And that was kind of where we were.
Did you expect that much pickup from your post, from Stacy's post?
No. It was kind of fun. We were sitting at the dinner table that night, that Thursday night, with my daughters and I and my wife, and we were kind of watching the post, and I started seeing it kind of building, and we were talking about it at dinner, and we were texting back and forth with Stacy and Michael Cuesta, who was his original idea, who's my director of sales, and we were watching the post, and I think at one point Stacy may have said something like, well, you know, we might reach 200 shares by like midnight. And I think that we hit that. We posted it at 6, and I think we might have hit 300 by 8 o'clock.
Wow.
Something like that. It was, and I jokingly asked Stacy, I said, well, is this not normal? Because I don't know what normal is. And she kind of laughed at me and said, no, this is not normal. So, I was not expecting that kind of response.
So what is your takeaway from this? Now, imagine you're speaking to another small business person out there listening, and you're advising them on utilizing this media to draw attention to what they're doing. What is your advice? How can you help people that are maybe in similar situations with your advice?
Well, the first thing I would say is trust your team, because that's really where the idea came from. This was not my brainchild. It was Michael Cuesta and Donnie Webb. They were the ones that made this happen. What I did is I supported them and pulled together resources and allowed it to happen over time, and really just supported my team. And that's the first thing I would say. And the other thing is that have faith that something is going to happen, and you just have to look around and make it happen. And that's what we were able to do.
So you've seen this time of the coronavirus environment and economy as a time of opportunity. When I was visiting with you yesterday, you said, all right, we're going to keep everybody on here and we're going to clean this place top to bottom until things get straightened up. I suspect you hadn't cleaned anything due to this new face shield.
Well, originally my wife and I had decided, literally that week that we started the prototyping and the idea came to bound, we had just had a meeting the middle of that week, and I told everybody that we were going to keep everybody employed for as long as we possibly could, regardless of what the government did or any of that stuff happened. Our goal was to keep everybody on staff, and I actually created a new company motto, and it was cross train and clean. And that's what we were going to do. And everybody was going to come in, and we were, everybody has a garage at home that could always use cleaning out, and that's the type of stuff we were going to do. Things you never really had time to do, but should. So we were going to spend the next 6 to 8 weeks doing that, and no, we haven't cleaned anything yet or rearranged anything or any of that stuff. This has kind of taken off, and it's really invigorated our team. We see how much good the shields are doing for the healthcare workers, and they're just excited to be part of the process.
Prior to this, did you utilize social media in any meaningful way? Have you done anything before that has had an effect via social media?
Nothing like this. We do have done some social media in the past, other things that we've sponsored and other events that we've done. And I'm on both the LinkedIn and the Facebook platforms. And no, we haven't had significant results doing that. We've had, I guess, normal results, people engaged and have interest, but nothing on this scale at all.
Do your customers, traditional customers, are they aware of what you're doing now? I know you've got great relationships with so many of these print customers of yours.
Right.
Have they reached out to say, man, go, good for you? What is their attitude?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. We do support the restaurant industry on a national scale as well as local businesses. And we've reached out to them and offered to help them through this process, or not through the face shield process, but as I told them, we have presses that aren't running and people that are here, so if you need something, let us know. And it really has been a group effort to try to get through this as a community. And the support that I've received from customers all over the country and even locally has been overwhelming.
So many of us that are small business owners, I'm raising my hand here, are wondering what the quote-unquote new normal will look like, because we're in the doldrums, things are quiet with my work, though I'm getting to see a little sign of life out there, but wondering what the new normal is going to look like. You're busy right now. Your traditional customers are now by the wayside due to the economy. What is the new normal going to look like for you? Do you think you're now in the face shield business, or is this temporary?
It all depends on what you consider short-term and long-term these days. I mean, short-term might be 2 weeks. I mean, it used to be longer than that. We will be making face shields at least for another 4 weeks. We'll be faced with another decision based on demand and customer feedback to determine whether we have to, you know, continue to provide face shields or whether their normal supply chain kicks in. So it's back to maybe another 4 to 8 weeks we'll be doing face shields, but we hope to get back to printing for customers on a regular basis. We actually have the presses running today, so that's a positive sign of recovery.
Yeah. Are the presses for restaurants? Can you tell me that?
Some of both. Actually, some local customers and some restaurant work.
Yeah, I think that's great. Good for you. Tell me this. Is social media now a part of your business plan, or is it only to be used during times of exception?
No, we're going to definitely. Stacy has helped us not only capitalize on the original post. When I say that is, you know, she helped us write it and helped us figure out what it needed to say and respond to people. But we are trying to elevate this to a normal part of our business because of the exposure we've gotten and the engagement we've had. And we'd like to continue that process.
I can't blame you, man. It's a great story. Proud to know you. Proud of what you're doing for our community and those that are benefiting from your products outside of our community. Joe Calagaz, the president of Calagaz Printing. Joe, thank you for your time. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by Regions. We'll be back after this break. All right, let's recap the highlights of the show thus far today. As part of what we're doing on a regular basis is the takeaways from the show, and I'll start with Joe Calagaz. He was our second guest on the show. First, trust your team. Let your team help you think. If they present some ideas, give them some thought. Trust the team. Second, have faith that the ideas are going to happen. Let those ideas marinate. Let them roll around and have faith that it'll happen. And third, and I think this one is what floored me and perhaps Joe as well, social media, let it work. Let people know what you're doing. There's great value to social media if used right. And I think the fact that they've got nearly 250,000 orders against these face shields is a reflection of the power of social media. So Let's next get into our final guest, and I'm happy to introduce this friend of mine. I haven't spoken to him for a while. Mark Sanborn, CSP and CPAE, has written the book that many of you have likely heard of called The Fred Factor. It sold over 2 million copies. In 2019, Mark was ranked as the number 5 leadership expert in the world by globalgurus.org. He's a friend of mine, lives in the Denver area. Mark, it's wonderful to talk to you again. Welcome to What's Working.
Thanks, Cam. Nice to reconnect after these many months.
It has been a while, and it's. I've been wondering what you're doing out there. I see a little bit of you in social media. I always know you're advancing thought, and typical of you, you've probably written another book. It takes me extraordinary effort to write a new book. However, you seem to do it during nap time every week.
Well, I'll tell you, Cam, writing a book is hard, but selling books is even harder.
It is. I can relate to both. And you've got a new one out. I'm looking at your bio here, your latest book, The Intention Imperative, Three Essential Changes That Will Make You a Successful Leader Today. Give me a little bit about The Intention Imperative, and then we'll get into the content that you've prepared for us today.
Well, as soon as COVID-19 hit, I began to wonder, did what I write about The Intention Imperative change? And actually, it did. The context, certainly the circumstances have changed. But The Intention Imperative is about being crystal clear on what you're trying to accomplish, making sure your team is clear, and then taking the appropriate action every day to do it. And that's what I call, you know, ground zero for leadership. And even when there's a huge boomerang change thrown at us, we just have to adjust and say, okay, let's get crystal clear on what we need to do now and take the appropriate action every day to do it. And then I talk about three shifts that I think are important in the workplace, but we can talk about those another time.
Okay, another time then. So, Mark, this show that I'm doing here, I think we're in our fourth week, twice a week. It's focusing on helping small business locally in the Mobile, Alabama area, and I've decided to try to end each show on an inspirational/motivational note. We've had some great local folks. You're the first guy from outside of town, and I asked you to do it. You said you were willing to do so. Give us some thoughts, some words along those lines that you can send us back into our day with.
Well, Cam, I'm glad to do that because I've had a lot more time to think than I've ever had before in my professional life. And I was reminded instantly of the old political saying, never waste a good crisis. And if that was ever true, it's true right now. And one of the things that I want to remind people, because I think sometimes we beat up on ourselves unnecessarily, is we didn't create the crisis and we can't control it. But we can control how we respond to it. Now, that's probably so familiar that your listeners have heard it before and maybe haven't given it a second thought. For many people, that means have a positive attitude. Well, it's hard to have a positive attitude when you're watching your business either on hold or decline. But what I like to point out is that the opposite of a negative attitude isn't a positive attitude, it's gratitude. And one of the exercises that I do every day, and I've been doing it before this happened, is just think back to the day before, three good things that happened. They don't have to be huge or even significant, but if you count the good things, you'll never come to a day that something good, two or three good things, didn't happen. So what I want to do in the short time we have is give your listeners the three R's of how to control how they respond to their challenges. And the first R is routine. Keep a routine like you did when there wasn't COVID-19. I get up at the same time, I exercise, I meditate, and I try to structure my day as if I were going to my office because I don't want to get into a sloppy habit of thinking I'm on vacation except I just can't leave the house. The second R is relationships. Now, when I wrote my book, Always Win, I said in a time of change, there's not one but two questions you've got to keep asking. And the first question is, what's important now? And we're asking that question. What's this going to mean going forward? What do we need to do differently? But you also have to ask the question, what is always important? What doesn't change? And relationships are primary. What a great time to reach out to people and to reconnect. We've got more time than ever. And the thing that I have found for small businesses is that trying to sell another struggling small business a service or a product isn't nearly as helpful as simply saying, how can I help? The third is results. Look at some problems and projects you can tackle every day, whether they're personal, by the way, I've done some projects I've been putting off for 20 or 30 years, or professional, And those professional projects might mean learning a software program better, reconnecting in the relationships that I just mentioned, or any number of things. In times of shelter in place, there's a lot we can't do, but there's even more that we still can do. We just have to choose to do it.
Mark, you had a blog post the other day. I've printed it out. I'm going to bring it home. It reads, one of the lines, crisis can create character for sure, but more often it simply reveals it. And I can't get enough of that one. Can you expand? We got about 30 seconds. Expand on that for just a moment.
Well, you bet. We think that a crisis helps us develop character, but usually it just exposes whatever character we have or haven't developed. And in that article, I talk about Peggy Noonan. She said on 9/11, the poor victims died exactly as they were, either trying to help carry a friend from a building or pushing someone out of the way in a stairwell to try to escape first. So this is a good time to recognize what our character is and look for any opportunities maybe to improve it for the future.
If you want a copy of Mark's free book, Always Win, How to Succeed When Times Are Bad, Good, or In Between, text What's Working to 44222. The email you'll receive as a result will tell you exactly how to get that. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Let's not let so much time go by again before we reconnect.
I agree. Thank you, Cam.
Folks, you're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. If you want to hear the show again, if you want to forward it to someone else, go to whatsworkingcam.com. You'll find the podcast link across the top of the page. Click on that. You can hear the show or you can send it on. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, What's Working with Cam Marston, and on Facebook, What's Working with Cam Marston. We'll have another show for you. We'll got another show tomorrow evening and then another show on Thursday at 1 o'clock. Have a good week, everybody, as best as you can. This is What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Talk to you soon.